Morning. Are we awake? Good answer. Okay. My name is Anthony. I'm on staff here at Hope, Oak, and Grace. I want to welcome you here. I just want to repeat what Justin said. If it's your first time with us, we are so excited that you are here. Make yourself feel right at home. We are in the middle of a series, so I want to encourage you, if you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, to go back and go to our website or listen on iTunes and get an opportunity. And I also want to give a big shout out to those that are watching on live stream and listening on our podcast as well, because we're in the middle of this series called In the Meantime, and we're asking this question: what do you do when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when you find yourself in a circumstance or a set of circumstances or a season of your life where there's no way forward and there seems to be no way out? You know, you're in a relationship and it just not seem to be going anywhere, or maybe you're in a marriage and you don't want to abandon the relationship. You certainly don't want to abandon your family, but it's just not going the way that you wanted to, and counseling doesn't seem to be working. You just feel stuck. Or maybe financially, you are miles from where you thought you would be financially, and you're seeing that it's going to take you years and years and years to get to where you even want to be or even thought you would be, and all of your options are just going to make the situation worse, and you just feel stuck. Disappointed in yourself. You're just tired of living in this in the meantime set of circumstances. You're unhappy, and this is just life. This is the way life is, and we don't know how to deal with it. And sometimes when we experience these in the meantime moments, we look around and everybody else's life just seems to be more perfect than ours. We find ourselves and we're looking through the highlight reels of social media, and then we turn to the reels of our own life, and they're anything but highlights. You know, we look at these pictures on Facebook or Instagram, and all these people are just having a grand old time. You get that infamous picture of the feet by the pool or the beach with the Mai Tai, and you're just thinking, I hate them. Or I'll never be able to afford that. Or I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be that happy. You know, if you've been with us for the past few weeks, Pastor Chris has walked us through some in the meantime moments in his own life. And I think all of us can think about those times in our life where we've just feel stuck, or maybe you're in a moment, you know, you're in one of these in the meantime moments right now. And I'm no stranger to them either. A few years ago, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she lives in Colorado, and I live out here, and there was a lot of that in the meantime moment while she was getting treated, and we just didn't know. And then shortly after that, my dad went in for a routine stress test, and they found some blockage in his heart, and it looked like he was going to have to go in for a triple bypass surgery, and all of these things were just kind of happening at once. And actually, most recently, last year, I went in for a routine physical, and the doctor took my blood pressure, and he took some blood out, and he was just like, you know, I want you... It's not bad now, but if you're not going to monitor your weight and you're not going to monitor this, I mean, this could turn into a big problem. I thought to myself, I hate exercising. I love food. I don't, wow, this is really going to turn my life around. And you know, and I think we get into these moments and you think to yourself, well, what if I lose my mom, or what if I lose my dad, or I don't know, what if I do get sick? What if I do come down with these things? And we get worried, and we start to think about ourselves in these in the meantime set of circumstances. And I know I'm not the only one that has done this before. I know I'm not the only one that's felt this way. I know I'm not the only one that when we sit around and we look around and we go, you know what? Things are just not okay. Things are just not okay. How do I be okay when things are not okay? Recently, throughout this series, we've actually been looking at the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, who was responsible for pretty much spreading the gospel and for single-handedly helping to plant churches along the Mediterranean rim, we learned that he had these awful things that he went through. And he had this thing last week that we learned, we had this thorn in his side, and he had all of these things. And he went to God and he said, God, will you take this away? And God said, no. And Paul just went right on. that somehow we learned the Apostle Paul that was going through something that was painful, humiliating, debilitating, permanent, that somehow he was able to go on his way and not divorce his confidence from God. That there was no conflict there, that there was just, that he was able to live in the meantime, in the meantime moment, and still do amazing things. And he takes it a step further. Today we're going to talk about this instance in Paul's ministry that happens about 10 years into his ministry. All right, so he's arrested, okay? He's taken to Rome, and at the time, all you really need to know, the history books tell us that there was this emperor named Nero. And if you know nothing about Nero, just know this. He once said that burning Christians is a wonderful way to eliminate his gardens. Illuminate his gardens. So I know some of you have like Hoboken, have like nice little backyards with Christmas lights. He had Christian lights, okay? I mean, it was just this guy was not a fan. If he could blame something on Christ followers, he was going to blame something on Christ followers, okay? So here's Paul. He's arrested. He's taken to Rome, all right? He's awaiting trial. He's awaiting trial where he's ultimately going to be judged by this Emperor Nero, all right? So it looks like all is lost, right? Jesus is lost. Rome won. It looks like game over, right? So Paul is sitting there. He's sitting there in prison, and he decides, well, what am I going to do? I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. These circumstances are not great. So what am I going to do? I'm going to write some letters. I'm going to write some letters from prison to those churches and those people out there that I was their mentor, that I helped plant. So while he was in prison, he wrote the book of Ephesians. He wrote Philippians. He wrote Colossians. He wrote Philemon or Philemon, depending on how you look at it. And it was in one of those letters that we're going to look at today. He wrote to the church of Philippi, all right, the letter to the Philippians, while he was in prison, where he makes some pretty bold statements about the circumstances that he's in. And let's take a look. Okay. he's starting off in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and he says this. He says, "Don't worry about anything." Oh, thanks, Paul. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you're concerned for me again. I know that you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have a chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live in almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Well, Paul, you're making some pretty bold statements there. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Verse 7, you will experience God's peace. Verse 9, then the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, I learned how to be content with whatever I had. Verse 11, I've learned the secret of living in every situation. Verse 13, I can do everything through Christ. He's learned to be content no matter what the circumstances. Huh. Okay, Paul. Can I call you Paul? Great. Listen, I have a question for you. You're sitting in prison, and before you were arrested and taken to Rome, you were stoned and left for dead. You were bitten by a snake. You were shipwrecked. When you went into the city, they threw you out of the city, and you had to escape over some walls, and that was on a good day. And then on a bad day, you get arrested. You're taken to Rome. You're awaiting trial for a judge who was most likely going to use you to light up his gardens. How are you content? How are you content with all that? How do you be content when all of that craziness is going on, Paul? Well, he says, he's talking about this contentment. And what is this contentment that he's talking about? Now, I was looking up some definitions, and this, I think, was the best one to kind of show what Paul was talking about when it comes to contentment, okay? Contentment is somehow something on the inside is at peace, even when everything on the outside is going crazy. And when I was doing some research for this conversation here, I learned something. We are not good at that. We as a society, as a culture, as people are not good at being okay on the inside when everything is crazy that's going on the outside. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was reading about this, I read about this study that took place a couple of years ago between, it was a joint venture between Time Magazine, Huffington Post, The Economist. They did this joint study, they got a whole bunch of people together, and they called it Stress in America. And they wanted to learn why was things so stressful? What was going on? And this is what they found out. And in the study, they found out that the most discontent and stressed demographic in this country are aged 18 to mid-30s. Okay? And this study, which spanned countless number of people and a countless number of years, they were working on it. It wasn't really conclusive. They couldn't really figure out why people were in that demographic were so stressed and why people were so discontent. But they kind of said, yeah, we assume it's the uncertainty of the job market and the rising of debt due to school. But what they did realize is that when your circumstances do change, the stress didn't go away. Instead, in your 20s, this is crazy, in your 20s, it begins with something that's called the U curve, which basically shows that your contentment index begins to drop. They said that 20-year-olds begin to be stressed less, but what takes its place is a general discontentment that continues and has a downward trend until your mid-40s, and then it picks up to about your 20-year-old levels when you're in your 60s. And I said, well, that's comforting. I'm just going to come up and say, listen, don't worry. The stress will go away when that wave of crushing discontentment comes in. But everything's going to be fine. The sun will come out in your 60s. Which is crazy. And then, but if it's fascinating, basically, yeah, you're generally discontented until your 60s. And then they were trying to figure out why. They're trying to figure out why. So they begin to control the data. They said, well, maybe older people are just tougher than younger people. Study said no. Well, maybe people that have more money are more content than people that have less money. And they said no to that too. They changed all these variables and about where you lived and how much money you made and whether or not you have kids. And they, let's take all of these circumstantial variables out and see if the trend is still there. And you know what? It was. They said this in the conclusion, and this is what it said. They said, there's a general discontentment in the world, and no matter how you tweak the circumstances, it doesn't seem to take the trend away. Contentment tends not to be directly related to changing your circumstances. And I tell you some of this, and I tell you this because some of you are in the middle of your in the meantime moments, and you say to yourself, well, hey, as soon as I get this cured, I'll be content. As soon as they take me back, I'll be content. As soon as I get that job, I'll be content. As soon as I'm out of this marriage, I'll be content. As soon as I meet the one, I'll be content. We're figuring out that people around the world are generally discontented, and a change in circumstance doesn't predict a rise in contentment. So that means contentment must come from some other place. If it doesn't come from our situation, how do we get it into our situation? How can we be content? How can we be okay when things are not okay? This is what Paul has to say. In verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." Now, the letter to Philippians is somewhat known as a thank you letter. The Church of Philippi had sent him a care package, or they sent him some money, and he was essentially saying, hey, thanks, I appreciate it. But Paul, ever the teacher, ever the mentor, says, well, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content in whatever I have.
I know how to live in almost nothing. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, or with plenty or litter. He says, I have learned the what? I have learned the what? It's a secret. Stop yelling. But he's learned a secret. He's learned a secret, and he says, hey, I've got a secret, and I want to tell you what it is. And I'm like, well, I want to know. We're all like that. Nobody ever says, I got a secret, and our response is, well, you better keep that a secret. I don't want to know what that secret is. We always want to know what that secret is, right? Victoria's been keeping a secret for years, and we still don't know what that is. So some of you will get that on the way home. He says, I know the secret of contentment. But here's what it's not. And let me be clear about what contentment is not. Contentment is not, hey, I'm glad this is happening. It doesn't mean that you're ignorant to the afflictions. Some people think that, you know, when Christ followers say they're content, they're trying to diminish the difficulties. Like we're saying, oh, it's not that big a deal. Oh, my parents divorced. It's not that big a deal. Oh, no, they can't cure it. It's not that big a deal. It's not saying that. Paul isn't saying that. That's not what discontentment is. You can call something difficult, difficult. Some people look at this and they see content in all situations and they say, well, what if I need to vent? That doesn't mean you can't tell God your problems. If you read what David wrote in the book of Psalms, he is constantly going to God, telling him what he wants, what he needs, crying out to God. You can be in a situation and say, God, I want you to take this away. I want you to fix this relationship. I want you to take this illness away. I want you to fix this problem. I want this person to be healed. In fact, he tells us to do that in verse 6. In verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. In one of the other translations, it says, go to God in prayer and petition. You know what that means? God, help! I can't deal with this. I'm going to you with prayer and petition. And what happens when you do that? Look at verse 7. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Well, what is that peace? What is that secret? Where does that come from? Well, Paul tells us in probably one of the most famous verses in all of literature. He says it in verse 13, which is, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. This is also, perhaps, one of the most misapplied verses in all of literature. This is one of those verses that you've probably heard in some way, shape, or form. You've seen it on a bumper sticker or something, and it's just so pithy and it's so easy to remember that people have yanked it out of context and just misapplied it. And you know, I think we hear this and we want to apply this to everything. If you were here last week, you told me that I told you about a month ago, I started running. Okay, and I'm at about 3 miles tops before I start seeing stars, okay? If I was to sign up for a marathon tomorrow, and I wore a shirt that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I would not be here the following week. There are things that I can't do. Let me tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that there are things that I can't do. I used to want to be a professional wrestler when I was little. I used to want to play baseball. I never gave my parents much hope. Then I went to school for acting. See, there was a trend here. And ultimately, what ended up happening, it's not like I could say right now, listen, all right, that's it. I'm giving up this calling of full-time ministry, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to play and fulfill my dream of being a Major League Baseball player. I cannot do that. I'm in my 30s with flat feet. There is no way I can do this. There are things that I can't do, and this verse isn't evidence that I can. Now, can Christ do the miraculous? Absolutely. But this verse isn't saying you can be an NFL football player through Christ. Ask Tebow. But listen, now that I've just killed your favorite verse, so what is the context of this verse, Anthony? Well, calm down, I'll tell you. He's talking about enduring. He's talking about flourishing in difficult circumstances. He's not talking about getting the job. He's not talking about winning that marathon or getting the trophy. He's talking about surviving something. The Apostle Paul summarizes how you live with contentment in the midst of your in-the-meantime circumstances. He says, for I can do everything What is that everything that he's talking about? Being persecuted, run out of town, stoned, left for dead, all that. For I can do everything through him. He says, I can do all of this. I can survive all of this. I can maintain my commitment and my contentment through Christ, who gives me strength. It's because Christ literally is giving me the strength. He says it in one of his other letters to the Colossians. He says in Colossians verse 1:27, it says, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Oh, thank goodness. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Here's the truth. When you walk into this relationship with Christ, when you trust in Christ, your sins aren't merely just forgiven and he says, go on your merry way. No. God literally deposits his spirit inside of you. And if you can wrap your head around this, that you literally have Christ living in you. I can do all things through Christ. Other translations say in Christ because he's living in you. It has been described almost as like a down payment of sort. God has put his spirit in you. He's made a deposit of Christ in you that says, I've paid for you and I'm coming back for you. Christ is living in you, which is why Paul really says, I can be fine on the inside even when the world around me is out of control. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me with his strength. I can survive all things. I can thrive under all circumstances. I can maintain my internal composure, not because I'm strong, not because it's all on me, but because he gives me strength. He gives me his strength. It's him working through me. Essentially, he's saying, I can't. But you can. And you can through me. I may be cool. I may be cool in a lot of situations. I may be strong. I may have a 401k. I may have got some things together. I may have some good friends. But when it comes to this thing, when it comes to this thing that's in my life, that is just on my mind 24/7, and it's just like Paul. It's painful. It's humiliating. It's debilitating. It's permanent. And I take it, and you know what? To be honest, if I was honest with you, I can't deal with this. I can't do that. And I'm sure at times you've been in your in the meantime moments, or maybe you're in that in the meantime moment right now, and you're thinking to yourself, I can't handle this. What he's saying is Jesus can, and the reason he knows Jesus can is because he dragged his own cross to that hill and died for my sins and your sins, and he rose in 3 days. And anybody that can do that on purpose, if you can do that intentionally, then what I'm facing is nothing compared to that. And the Apostle Paul says, I can't, he can, and most importantly, he can do it through me. Maybe your health isn't good, and your doctor kind of just shrugs and says, hey, well, you know what, we can monitor it. We can treat it. We just can't cure it. And you think, I can't. I can't deal with this. And God says, you're right. You can't, but I can. Through you. Your career, maybe your career isn't going the way you wanted it to go, the way you thought it would go. And financially, you're just not where you wanted to be. And every time you think of doing something to get you out of this situation, maybe it's unethical, or maybe it's going to make your situation even worse, and you're just thinking to yourself, I can't. God says, you're right. You can't, but I can. And I can do it through you. You may be saying, well, Anthony, I don't understand it. I think Paul would say the same thing. I don't think I can explain it either. It's a mystery. But it's a mystery that becomes a reality in you. You can have contentment on your in the meantime moments, he says, because your Savior lives inside of you. Now, I just want to quickly point this out. Throughout this series that we've been talking about really difficult situations, and we have said constantly, taking the position that hard things are hard. Difficult things are difficult. We're not in any way minimizing the pain, the grief, the struggle that you're going through. I'm not giving you a pithy statement or something that you can do that is going to ease all the hardship in your life. What we're saying here is that drawing close to God is the thing to do. We don't know how it's going to work. We don't know how God is going to work through this, but we can't imagine the good or the joy that comes from it, because in the middle of this, in the meantime circumstances, we can't imagine anything good coming from it. That's the I can't portion of it, but we got to trust that God is going to do something with it. Last week, Pastor Chris was walking us through something called context, and we wanted to be able to give you tools, and while you're in these in the meantime moments, we wanted to speak into your relationship and give you ways that you can go to Him and remember and do all of these things that you may be going through, these rough seasons in your life. So we've done something for you this week. What I want you to do is pull out your phone. Go ahead, pull out your phone, pull out your tablet, whatever. It's going to get you online. We tell you to go to the online program every week, and none of you do it, but I'm making you do it now. Go to HobokenGrace.info. Okay, there it is. Thank you very much, Steve. And if you scroll down, you're going to see something that says, once it loads, but ultimately you're going to see something that says download the verse image. And when you download the verse image, this is what's going to come up. I can't. You can, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I have it on my phone. There's proof. I want you to keep this as your wallpaper for at least a week. And some of you are going to have to do it through this entire season of your life because things get tough. And in the morning, if your phone is your alarm clock, like me, I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to look at this, and that thing that you're thinking about, the thing that's constantly on your mind, that one thing that is painful, humiliating, that's a new word, but listen, that thing that is just on your mind, the thing that you just can't get past, I want you to start your day by saying, hey, God, I can't. I can't, you can. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And if you need help how to make this your background, go to one of our greeters or one of our connection points, and they'll show you how to do this as well. Just start your day off with this. I can't. I can't. I'm just going to acknowledge, God, good morning. I can't, but you can. If you have roommates or, you're in a Hoboken thin-walled apartment, just, I can't. You can't. Something like that. And this will be a constant reminder. This is going to be a constant reminder that you just check your phone. Every time you check your phone to see if maybe he's called or maybe he's texted or maybe you're waiting to hear back on those results or those things that just happened, that you can go to it and just say, you know what? I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this, but you can, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, who gives me his strength. And here's the most important thing about this message, guys. This is on my phone because this is something that I need to learn too. You know why? Because Paul said, I learned it. I've learned the secret. That means this isn't automatic. This isn't something that automatically you should feel. You need to learn this. Paul learned this. So before you go to bed at night, you're waking up in the morning and you're saying, God, I can't, but you can. And before you go to bed tonight or any night, I just want you to pray this prayer to say, God, teach me. I want to learn the secret of contentment. I want to learn that. I want to go what that is. Like I said, I needed this. I needed this. I'm going through this now. I needed this a few years ago when my mom was going through her cancer treatments, when my dad was prepping for his heart surgery. I even needed this last year when the doctor told me this could be bad news. That's why I'm going through this with you. I'm learning this too. But hey, every day I'm going to wake up and I say, you know what, God? I can't. You can. And if you're not sure what to pray, if you're not sure what to go to God with, the Apostle Paul gives you some more direction on how we can start to engage God and how we can start to find this peace. In Philippians 4:6, he says, don't worry about anything. Thanks, Paul. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace, which will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. First thing he says, don't worry about anything in verse 6. Go to the previous one. Can you go to verse 6 for me, please? Thank you. Don't worry about anything. Listen, guys, you and I both know this. Worrying doesn't change anything. And here's the crazy thing. Nobody's a born worrier. We learn how to worry from our parents, from our peers, from our experiences. But this is also good news. You know why? Because that means it can be unlearned. Second thing he tells you to do is pray about everything. I'm going to tell you this right now. Some people have said, oh, you don't pray about that, or, you know, that's so minuscule, I'm not going to pray about that. I'm going to tell you right now, God is interested in every single detail of your life. Every single detail. Go to him with every single detail. And that means you can take anything, any problem, anything you want to God. And last but not least, maybe the hardest thing on this one, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Some of you look at me right now and go, Anthony, I can get behind the praying and I can get behind this, but how can I be grateful for this situation that I'm in? I mean, if we were sitting across the table from each other, I bet you could tell me exactly what's stealing your peace right now. You're like, okay, I know we should pray. We've learned that. But praying is not all that we should do. To simplify it even more, I put this equation down for you because this is the best math that I can do. Let me put that equation on up there for me. Prayer plus thanksgiving equals peace. You got to thank God in all things. You see, when you pray, you got to pray with thanksgiving. This is the healthiest human emotion. Some people think it's love. I think it's gratitude. Because it's in those in the meantime moments, if we can find something that we are still thankful for, that's going to help us to start to change our mind. That's going to help us to unlearn these things that we've worried about, that we've been scared about. But if we can go into God and say, God, I need help. I don't understand this. But thank you for these things that are in my life. It's hard. It's hard. Especially if it doesn't go the way that you want it to go. Not all of our circumstances have happy endings. Luckily, my mom survived breast cancer. My dad ended up not needing to go into that triple bypass. I'm down 2 pant sizes. But it's not always a happy ending. The hard gratitude, the costly gratitude, is when we go into the situation and we thank God even despite of our circumstances. I have so many things to be thankful for, and I bet you if you think about it, there's a lot of things you can be thankful for too. I have a beautiful and talented wife. I have wonderful friends and family. I have a lovely dog, Honor. I'm thankful for Disney and for food and that I'm not a Jets fan. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that I'm thankful for. But listen, even in the midst of these circumstances, to say, God, I can't, but you can. I bring this to you, and I'm thankful for what you've done. That's where the peace comes in. That's where that contentment comes from. That Paul, despite his circumstances, despite being beat, stoned, thrown in prison, and facing likely death, that he could say, you know what? I got something to look forward to. I can't do this. It wasn't me, but it was Christ who gave me his strength. I'm going to close this now in prayer, and I want to invite the band to come back on up here, but I want you to take a few moments to think about that one thing in your life that is just at the epicenter of this in the meantime moment, that thing that as Paul would say, is your thorn in your side. And I want you to think for a moment that thing is the epicenter of where God has the greatest potential to do the greatest work in your life. Think about Paul in prison. He's facing these incredible, awful, in the meantime circumstances, but it was being in prison that launched his writing ministry that changed the world. So here's what I have to say. You have no idea what God wants to do through you and in you in your in-the-meantime set of circumstances. And right at the center of that is that thing that you think, if it just stirs and it churns my discontentment. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about that, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you can start to walk into this relationship, and when things feel like you just can't go any farther, if you're going to call on his strength, because I can't, but he can. And he can through you. Will you pray with me? God, Sometimes we sit here and we go, okay, I can get behind that. I can understand that. But God, this is still hard. This is still tough. This is, what I'm going through is painful. Teach me. Teach me how to be content. Paul learned it. I want to learn it. I pray that we all can learn it. I pray for each and every person that is listening to this now that as they focus on what that thing is, that in the meantime moment, that thorn in their side, that they will think to themselves, you know what? I can't do this. But I tell you who can. You can. And I want to call upon your strength, and I want to call upon all of that, because you know what? I can't do this. But I believe you can. And Father, I'm going to you with gratitude. Thank you for what you are doing and how you are working. I may not understand everything, but thank you. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for sending your Son to the cross. Thank you for loving us more than we could ever imagine. We go to you with prayer, with petition, and with gratitude. And it's because of Jesus, and it's in his name we pray.